91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Pray that you are having a great day. It is Wednesday. We have our Fire Bible Discipleship class tonight, and the topic that we are discussing tonight, if I am not mistaken, I could be mistaken, but I believe it is the peace of God. And Danny and I were just talking a little bit. I had an interesting experience at a gas station this morning where there were people not happy with one another. And it wasn't me. I wasn't the source, nor was I contributing to the problem. I was just an observer. And, there are a lot of people who don't have peace operating in their life. And so I believe that's what our topic is tonight. If it's not, we'll be studying something else. But we are contingent of teachers continues to grow. We've added a couple of teachers in the June schedule. Some of them, teach in other formats in our church as well, but this will be the first time that they have done one of our Fire Bible lessons. And so if you don't have enough peace in your life, I want to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. Pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful day. So we have been talking about salvation. We have been looking at the things that God saves us from, that he saves us from sin, he saves us from the consequences of sin, he saves us from fear, he saves us from our enemies, and yesterday we were talking about he saves us from this perverse generation. So we are going to now begin to look at the process through which we are saved. And so today we're going to go to John the third chapter. We are not saved because we are good looking. We are not saved because we are rich. We are not saved because we're a good person. We are not saved because we're famous. We are not saved because of our position. None of those things bring about our salvation. In fact, there's some things I'm going to share with you today from John chapter 3 that contrast the mind of people who are trying to earn their salvation with how Jesus responds to that situation. So let's go to John chapter 3. I'll begin reading at verse number 1, and then we'll pick up at verse number 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So this is the encounter that Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, has with Jesus. And he comes and he says, we know you're a teacher from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. I think that statement there begins a very important reality, and that is the presence of God literally changes what takes place in a person's life, a person's house, a person's society. I think for too long we've treated the presence of God as something that is a luxury instead of it being a necessity. The presence of God is absolutely vital. I remember God gave me a message years and years ago. I mean, long time ago. It was transformational in my life. The message was titled From Turmoil to Triumph. And it described the life of Leah. And Leah's life, she was compared to her sister. Leah was older than Rachel. Rachel was considered the more beautiful. And so she didn't measure up there. Leah's dad did not think of her very much as having very much potential for getting a dowry presented so someone could marry her. So he worked up this scheme that he married her to Jacob without Jacob knowing it, so that he could get another 7 years of free labor out of Jacob, who loved Rachel. Jacob didn't really care for her. He was in love with Rachel. And so all of these people were looking at Leah as if she was an afterthought, but she was largely responsible for the tribes of Israel. She, if it wasn't for Leah, Rachel had Joseph and Benjamin, and Leah was just very, very fruitful. But Leah was miserable because of the way that everybody else was treating her. And at one point in time, Leah's son comes and brings her a gift. Rachel looked at the gift that Leah had and said, you know, you've got my husband. Now you want the gift that my son has brought. Rachel looked at that gift, thinking that was going to be what would help her to break her infertility, and that she would be able to have a child. And she said, "Okay, fine. I'll take the gift. You take Jacob." And Leah ended up having another child as a result of that, because there's no substitute for the presence. You know, there it takes a man and a woman and the timing of God and the purpose of God in order for a baby to come into existence. And you can have all of the ambience and atmosphere and all that the world says, you know, is going to make your life pleasurable. You'll never be fruitful if you are detached or separated from the source of life. And, you know, programs in churches are great. We're very excited about the Fire Bible program, the discipleship program. By the way, the person that introduced me to that concept, he's going to be with us in August, Danny Duvall. He's going to be with us. There's going to be a Saturday night youth and young adult service. He's going to be preaching for us on Sunday morning. And we want to invite you out to that. It's the second Saturday in August. I don't have that. Let's see. I could tell you what it is. It looks like it's going to be August 12th is the Saturday night. August 13th is the Sunday morning. 6 o'clock, I believe, is the start time for that. Not 7, 6 o'clock. And so he's going to be preaching, because we need the presence of God. It's time that the people of God realize that we're not just a civic group where we come and we have a book review, and we socialize a little bit and have a great time together, sing some songs and things like that. Too many people think that is what church is about. Church is about coming into the house of God to have a meeting with the God of the house and having him and his entire entourage show up and transform your life, your family, and our society. Don't, you know, programs are great, but there's no substitute for the presence of God. And Nicodemus realized that. The only way you could be doing these things is if God is with you. Jesus answers him. This is in verse number 3, and he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Being born again, having your sins forgiven, being called out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, having your heart changed, and being reconciled to not only into relationship with, but to the authority of the Father, that is absolutely essential. And so this begins an enlightening conversation for Nicodemus. And I think that all of us need to realize that we still, from time to time, can have God show us some amazing things in the scriptures. I was studying for my Mother's Day message for weeks before Mother's Day came, and I was going to go one direction, and one night I was laying in bed and I wasn't able to sleep. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God dropped a verse inside of me, to the point that I sat up in the bed, reached over, grabbed my Bible program, and started digging into that passage right then. And a little while later, my wife said, "I've got gifts lined up for what you said that God had dropped into your spirit for Mother's Day." And so we try and synchronize those events. And so, by the way, I want to invite you out to our Father's Day weekend. That will be this weekend, and would love to have you come and celebrate the fathers that we have, the Heavenly Father that has changed our lives. And so if you do not have a church, we'd love to have you come and be a part of Father's Day this weekend. We'll have some door prizes and some things like that. So, but the most important thing is we want to introduce you to the Father. So I was studying for this message at Mother's Day, and I pull all of the verses and I start processing through them, and as I'm going through, as I'm studying, I come across a familiar passage in the Word of God, but I only knew the last portion of the verse. And as I studied, and I want you to know that when I read the verse, I was like, what does that, where, first of all, where has that been all my life? And second, what exactly does it mean? Does it mean what I think it means? And so I started going through commentaries and learning things that I didn't know. And as I came to understand that passage of scripture even better, it made the latter part of the verse, which was a pretty familiar passage, not universally known among non-believers, but it's a saying that, you know, I've heard many, many times before. It made that part become even more relevant and more personal and more compassionate. So being born again is very, very important. Nicodemus hears this, that everyone's got to be born again, and Pharisees were traditionally used to thinking of themselves as having achieved everything that needed to be achieved, and they could look down on the others, you know, the poor of the society, and they could point out all of their flaws and all of the things that they were doing wrong. They had a serious superiority complex, and they had no inhibitions at all about pointing out what was wrong with people. And all of a sudden, now Nicodemus is hearing that he needs an experience with God, that he doesn't understand what Jesus is saying, doesn't understand the process, and he's quite perplexed. And Nicodemus asked Jesus in verse number 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus takes Jesus' words and he tries to make sense of them with the limited understanding that he had. When he talks about being born again, Nicodemus' only point of reference is, well, I know I was born from my mother, but I don't understand. I've never known anybody that went through that process twice. What do you mean being born again? How can that be done? Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And the emphasis that Nicodemus puts on that is on the efforts of man. You know, we don't necessarily think of it in modern times, but having a child was a life-threatening experience for mothers much throughout history. It's all obviously been a very successful mechanism because there are more people alive than ever before, but it points in time in history, there were a lot of times where the mothers did not survive. Rachel did not survive the birth of Benjamin. And so that was, there were a lot of people that if you had to enter into your mother's womb again, she wouldn't be there. So Nicodemus is trying to do the mental gymnastics and trying to figure out, how can a person be born again? A lot of people don't like to use that terminology, but I will just simply tell you this. It's terminology Jesus used. Therefore, it's perfectly good terminology. If Jesus says it, it's good enough for me. I'm recognizing his choice of words to be without flaw and perfectly within the understanding that needs to take place. So Nicodemus puts the emphasis on what action he would need to take, what actions a person would need to take in order to be born again. And that's what religion does. Religion doesn't focus on what God does. It tries to focus on man's efforts. There are people who their entire religious system, if they want to experience eternal bliss, if you will, all they've got to do is be 50.0001% good. Just a smidgen better than being bad. And so there's these people, and they're constantly living on this spiritual teeter-totter. Well, I messed up then. I'd better do something good to try and compensate for that now. And that's not what Jesus is talking about at all. Jesus is talking about Christianity, which is all about relationship, a relationship with Almighty God that doesn't fixate on works generated in the hearts of men or jumping through a hoop. Coming to church is not so that you can get a spiritual merit badge. I say that about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is not a spiritual merit badge where you are never going to have to do anything. You can say, whoop, I got it. I did it. No, it's about a dynamic relationship where we are constantly growing, constantly learning, and God is constantly working in us. So where Nicodemus focused on the efforts of men, look at what Jesus says. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." That's emphasis on the natural birth process and the spiritual birth process. So this is not about the physical transformation, but it's a spiritual transformation that bears some similarities to the natural process. Before a baby is born, it is in a very confined, constricting space. There's nutrition that comes. There is room to grow. There's an atmosphere that will do for a season, but it will not be a forever season. At some point in time, there has to be a transformational process where you are shifted from a finite or very restricted space to a much more liberating space. At that point in time, the atmosphere which kept you alive in that restriction no longer will work. So a friend of mine recently had a family member that had a baby, and he asked one question. And the question was this: has the baby cried? And the reason that they asked that is because the only way that a baby can cry is if it's breathing, and that means that it is successfully transitioned from being inside the mother to growing outside of the mother. And it's a very it's a very, very fragile process, and thank God the baby is healthy. So he said, "You and I, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." There are a lot of people that think that heaven is just going to be a glorified earth. That is not the case. Heaven is not going to be fixated on geography. It's not going to be fixated on a clock. It's not going to be concerned about anything other than, look, there is one thing that makes heaven heaven, and that is God is on the throne, and we are going to be thrilled to be in his presence. If you're looking forward to heaven, you need to get used to being in the presence of God with other believers now. If you're going to spend all of eternity with them, don't you think you ought to begin to familiarize yourself with the protocols of heaven, with the expectations of heaven, with what it's going to be like? Some people would be absolutely miserable in heaven because the things that bring them pleasure, they have not allowed God to change their heart to where they're shifted from the pleasures of this world, the pleasures of sin, which only endure for a season. They haven't shifted from that yet to having God give them the desires of their heart, and those desires be the desires of the kingdom. So we don't get into the kingdom of God because we want to. We say we get into the kingdom of God because the Spirit of God has come and born us again. Verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say, or that I said to you, you must be born again. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is intentional on pursuing each man, woman, and child and bringing them to that place where they say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I need Jesus and his word to guide me into the things that guide me into all truth so that I know how I'm supposed to live. We need the Spirit of God. And so kneeling and saying a prayer is wonderful. I encourage people to repent, to say the sinner's prayer, but I also want to encourage them. We need the Spirit of God to come inside of us to empower us to live the life that God wants us to live. Jesus told Nicodemus, don't marvel at this. Please understand, you must be born again. If we're going to be saved, we must be born again. I pray that you have a great day. We'll continue this study tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio program. You have a marvelous day. God
bless you. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So lofty the world, he gave us his son, who gave up his life, atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood. To every believer, the promise of God.